Our first reading is Psalm 121, which is on page 885 in your pew Bibles. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next reading comes from the Gospel of John. I'll be reading from chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Hear the word of God. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night, and he said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, that is, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Have you ever found that language can be tricky? That often what we say and what we mean can be two different things? The following announcements have allegedly been found in church bulletins. And by the sound of them, you may get a sense for what I mean. For example, one church invitation reads, "Bertha Belch is a missionary from Africa. Come and hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. Don't forget the bean supper will be held Tuesday evening in the fellowship hall. Special music will follow. Please note that Kathy still remains in the hospital, needs blood donors for more transfusions. She is also having trouble sleeping and requests Pastor Jack's sermons. This afternoon, we will be meeting in the north and south end of the church. Please note that children will be baptized at both ends." And my personal favorite is, "The church treasurer unveiled the slogan for the stewardship campaign, I up my pledge, so up yours." Sometimes what we say and what we mean may be two different things. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who comes from God, for no one can do the signs that you do apart from God." And it's hard to say exactly what Nicodemus means by sign, but he may be talking about the miraculous wedding in which Jesus turned water into wine. He may also be talking about the cleansing of the temple when the Jews asked him, "What sign can you give us that shows you have the authority to do these things?" He said to them, "I will destroy this temple and raise it again in 3 days." These perhaps are signs that persuaded Nicodemus, a prominent, influential leader, to step out at night and see for himself, who is Jesus the Messiah? Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You know, no one can see the kingdom of heaven without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "I may be a little old, but I'm not stupid. How can I be born again? It's not like I can crawl back to where I came from and start again." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, you cannot enter the kingdom of God without being born again." Friends, did you hear that? Sometimes what we say and what we mean can be two different things. What does Jesus mean, born again? I heard a story about three fathers waiting in a waiting room. The first was told that his wife gave birth to two twins, to which he replied, "That's amazing. I play baseball for the Minnesota Twins." A nurse came out and told the second, "Congratulations, you're the father of triplets." "That's amazing," he said. "I work for the company called 3M. At that, the next man fainted. And when he woke up, the nurse asked him, "What's wrong?" He said rather sheepishly, "I work for the 7-Up Corporation." What does Jesus mean? In order to be part of God's kingdom, we have to be born again. It comes from the Greek, anothen, which can mean born again, born anew, or born from above. It conveys a sense of change, or a new life that emerges not just of the flesh, but of what he calls the spirit. "How can this be?" asked Nicodemus. And I have to think Jesus replied with a wink when he says, "You are a teacher of the law, and you do not know these things?" And then it hits me. There's the law, and there's the spirit. It's one thing to say love. It's another to show it. The flesh is helpful in our understanding of God. The law is helpful in our understanding of God, but it is often the Spirit that helps us to see it. It is the Spirit that helps us to enter into the things of God. In our psalm this morning, Psalm 121, we hear one of the most confident affirmations of our hope in God. In all of Scripture, I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where will my help come? My help is in the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord is your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. And I love that at our Tuesday Bible study this last week, many acknowledge, but sometimes it's not always like that, is it? Sometimes trouble comes, sickness strikes. We face the reality of the shadow of death. It's true. Sometimes we don't see the kind of hope and spirit that the psalmist describes, but maybe the good news is that sometimes we do. Sometimes we do see that spirit. We come into a way of seeing and a way of being that puts us in touch with God. I like the way the Apostle Paul put it in his letter to the Corinthians. He says of his disciples as they are working to be a church and going through some of the struggles of being a church, trying to rally up troops and finances and places to meet, he says we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not to despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry in our hearts the death of Jesus, his struggles within us, so that the life of Jesus might be revealed. Spirit, even in this earthly flesh, I was driving the other day, making some hospice visits. Our tablets, where we get our information, they were having trouble, so I had to wait on some information. It's kind of one of those days I needed to do a lot, and I didn't have what I needed to get the things done. About that time, I saw a sign in Fredericksburg that said, Lady Bird Johnson Municipal Park. Do you know it? Complete diversion from the world I was in of driving and patience and documentation and checking boxes. Even as I stepped out of the car and placed my foot on the ground, I felt like an astronaut in another world. I could hear the sounds of birds. I could feel the wind. I walked aimlessly down a winding trail. I saw an underground spring emptying into streams of still water. I saw two turtles sunbathing on a dam and the sun shining through the trees like a transfiguration. And I thought to myself, water, spirit, born from above, born from anew we are. Sometimes these things are hard to see when we're distracted. Other times we may remember, and it's as real as the air we breathe. When my tablet was back up and running, I moved on from Lady Bird Johnson to a little care facility in Fredericksburg. As soon as I entered the room, I heard the sound of a familiar voice. A woman who was not on my list to visit, but she somehow found an attachment to me. Help! Help! She said. I made the mistake of calling her Linda one time, which is her real name, but she corrected me. She said, my name is Joy. So I walked over to Joy. Long flowing hair, some of the most beautiful blue eyes I've ever seen. Help! Help! She said softly. I walked over beside her, as was our ritual, and I said, Linda, do you need some help? And she said, no. What do you need, I say? And she says with a smile, I don't know. So I say to her, but you want to talk, don't you? She smiles and says, yes. I say, have you seen Coy today? And she lights up, and she says, I saw him this morning. Poi, her husband, passed away a few years ago. We talk a little further about the day and the weather and the next time she gets to see Poi. Joy has taught me a lot about the difference between what we say and what we mean, between what we trust and what we do. She often shows me the difference between saying love and showing love in our hearts. I imagine you have any number of experiences in your life. In this season of Lent, we are encouraged to pause, to open our eyes, to open our hearts, to open our hands to God and others around us, and remember what it is to be born of this Spirit, to be born anew time and time again. I say again, the Spirit is often the difference between what we say and what we mean. It's why Jesus can say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's what he said. How does he show it? How do we show it? Would we be so bold?